Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
True North convenience stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar-Free. First-round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
How bad do you want to get out of this football hell?
Dive into the mind of former NFL quarterback Clint Sterner.
I was thinking about coming out of the shoot here and telling y'all about my new boots that I got on, but y'all want to talk about puppy chow?
Wait, what is that, ostrich?
Hell no, it's python.
It's Sterny's Daily.
Before we get to that boner.
On The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Dirty's Daily, another one of them segments that needs a sponsor. What do you say, Ron?
Hey, man, I'm telling you.
What do you say, man? We got a bunch of them. We got some staples here that are rocking and rolling.
It's open for business.
Dirty's Daily. I'm telling you, you got to stay plugged in right here. It's a tape drop Wednesday, Monday Night Football. I need 2 days to be able to get it digested, and I've done that. Before we do that, though, Ron, I do want to make sure that we respond to what we just heard from C.J. Stroud. And you sounded like there were some things that you had on your mind about what we just heard from C.J. Stroud in that last segment.
Yeah, I think C.J. Stroud is a very intelligent dude anyway, and I think he's a very intelligent person who knows the game of football. All right, I think he knows why motions can be positive. I think he could have answered that question just like he did. I think he knows what he needs to know about football. Now, do I think he's struggling reading blitz pickups immediately right there at the line of scrimmage with the play clock going down? Maybe he's going to still need to get some experience with that. But he knows football. I think his feelings are hurt. I think it's in some form or fashion, I think he is super annoyed, not with just them losing, but annoyed with how people are reacting towards him. I think he hears all of it. I think he sees all of it. I think he hears everything from his coaches, from the media, and you could tell he walked in there pissed. Now, he's not going off. He gonna go off. That's not his style. But you could hear in there he was gonna give answers the way he wanted to give, and we've heard him now for two straight times that he has spoken. People love you when you're winning, and then they won't like you when you're down and you're the hero.
You find out who's in your corner really in your corner when you go through these things, both personally and as a team.
He bolted up multiple times because he's pissed. Yeah. He's pissed on how – and this is all I would say is, one, he is still young. Hey, but big dog, this is what comes to the territory. This comes with it, man. When y'all got Bobby Slowick's ass up out of here, no matter how y'all got him out, when y'all got his ass up out of here, there was no other place to turn when the offense goes bad but you. And when they know you about to make $60 million, something, when you about to get paid, hey, Jack, it's coming to you. And when you put up 14 points or 9 points 1 week and 19 points and you get help big time by your special teams, and you're throwing balls directly to Levante David right in front of you 5 yards, they coming to you. You are the man. You are the man. And you got to be able to handle that. And the hope is he's just pissed off at the media and he's handling that way. And he doesn't take it out on the field. But now when you see him in the space that he's in right now, and you see the play where it is, now you're wondering, are these things intertwined? I just, like, to me, man, he's going through it. You talked about it. This may be the first big level of football adversity. Going 9-0 and then losing to Michigan ain't big adversity. This may be the big football, I listened to a young man up there saying to himself, damn it, man, do y'all know where y'all was before I got here? That wouldn't do it nothing. We've been in the playoffs the last 2 years. We won playoff games.
Nothing.
We lose a couple games. And now y'all talking to us like that? Yeah, man, it's kind of where it goes when you got expectations. I believe he'll grow from this. I think he'll grow from this. But that clearly is somebody. By the way, you all talking about us just going overboard with stuff. Y'all think it's just all just going all cool behind closed doors? Y'all think it's all straight? This feels like a little bit more than, boy, we're pissed off because we started 0-2. There seems like a little bit more that's going there. So I just think what we saw was a young man dealing with a lot of adversity for the first time. People really kind of coming at him, and it makes him feels like he's being turned on, and he's frustrated and he's pissed off, and I think that came out to me big time.
Yeah, I agree. I think the overall tone of the presser was interesting. The dynamic has clearly shifted in multiple ways, but I mean the simple fact that you're going to be asked questions about being hurried, about not playing well, about not having answers for pressure, about comparing last year to this year, and when that frustrates you, when it frustrates D'Amico, I think it's very telling of where one's head is. I mean, look, adversity exposes, right? I mean, adversity exposes. Anybody and everybody can be a great guy, great man, great player, great quarterback.
Boy, they need
when things are going well, boy, but when things go bad, who are you? How do you handle it?
And they need a win.
Either way it goes, it's gonna expose you. So, nonetheless, the Texans they did lose week two, Monday Night Football, in front of God and everybody. And here's where we sit, and the tape has dropped. And I think the first point that I do want to make is while the national media is focusing on the struggles of Houston, the once again seemingly effortless ability that defenses have to pressure C.J. Stroud, it's easy to point at the offensive line. And I've heard a lot about this offensive line this week. And look, rightfully so. They deserve to be targeted. They deserve to catch some of the heat, no doubt about it. But the thought that the Texans can't win ball games because of the offensive line, in my opinion, is not accurate. I believe the Texans, after watching the film once again, I believe that the Texans can win with this offensive line. Whether the Texans can or can't win does not hinge on whether Arianti Urcery can play a perfect game. He got beat once. He got flat out beat once, right? He's not perfect, right? Lakin Tomlinson. He got beat at least once, if not twice. He's not an average pass blocking interior offensive lineman in this league.
I mean, Clint, he's not going to handle Vita Vea by himself.
No, he's not. Jarrett Patterson got beat once. Ed Ingram got crossed up once. Yeah, I mean, those guys did. I think they all got crossed up once. And that's going to happen the rest of the way. But overall, individually, I believe those guys played good football on Sunday. They definitely played good enough football to win on Sunday. Now, overall, as a whole, the pass protection has got to get better. Dare Agumbawale just simply cannot be on the field. He got exposed in pass protection in a major, major way. Now, I think that has a lot to do with the scheme. I don't think up front that they are very sound at all. But again, with the guys that are up there, the names that are on the jerseys, you can win football games with those guys playing offensive football, offensive line, period, point blank. So let's not pile on the offensive line. If anybody out there won't say, man, the Texans are having a real struggle protecting, it starts with the OC, the quarterback, which running back's in the game, and the O-line being able to communicate it and process it and pick it up. No question, right? By the way, the wide receivers may be the biggest problem on this football team outside of just, you know, the protection. And that's where I want to start with digging a little bit here. Between wide receivers running bad routes and wide receivers making piss-poor decisions, they're killing this football team. Nico and Xavier Hutchinson running cut, split, slants into each other. Now, luckily, Xavier Hutchinson caught the ball, and Nico almost tackled him. That somebody blew that route. That cannot be what they're trying to accomplish. Dalton Schultz and I can't remember who the other wide receiver was, another pass catcher, running the same box route out of a trips formation. They're literally in a 53 2/3 wide field and 100 yards long, however many square yards that is. They are standing in a 2-yard box together while the quarterback's getting pressured. Right? Can't run routes on top of one another. Yep. Nico and Xavier Hutchinson running cut split. Your inside guy, in other words, they're tight. They're close. They're about 2 yards apart. Your inside guy's going to run a clear out, go or post. Your outside guy's going to run an in route where that void hits. They end up within about 5 yards of each other. Can't happen. Absolutely can't happen. Nico, the ball that almost got picked, right, when CJ saw him late, and we were all piling on CJ. Sure, CJ never should have threw that ball blind. But the truth of the matter is, Nico should have sat his ass down in that 20-yard wide window. Right? Should have ran through it. He ran through it. Should have sat down in it. That's what top 10 receivers in this league do. Same thing with Xavier Hutchinson. You know the one later on where he misses Xavier Hutchinson behind him? Right? If you look at that, Hutch should have sat his ass down, at least idled down in that window and gave him something to throw at instead of letting that linebacker become part of it. Right? Now, you can argue that those balls should have been thrown earlier and CJ should have saw it. Cool. But the reality of it is, it's football 101. If you don't get the ball on time, settle your ass in a window versus zone. Both of those should have been settled. The wide receivers for this football team have to be better.
Man, when you're talking about routes and guys in the same area, yeah. We talked about that last year.
Yeah, I knew that's exactly where you were going.
You had conversations like this. How in the hell are Tank Dell and Nico Collins or whoever and Stephon Diggs in the same area? That can't be right.
Yeah.
The crossing routes, those are too tight.
Well, get ready. You're fixing to hear something that I'm regurgitating again, right? The difference between winning and losing football with this team right here is offensive scheme. It's offensive scheme. It's time that we get real about this monkey see, monkey do business. Right? The cut splits that everybody in the NFL is running. Look, I understand that there are some offensive coordinators and some quarterbacks that can handle that. And I understand, as Cecil Short said, when you do it for a reason, there's some win there. The Texans, I charted, they had cut splits on at least 90% of the offensive snaps. And I'm going to tell you right now, there's no rhyme or reason why. Right? There's no rhyme or reason why. And I'm going to tell you, as a quarterback, and as at time, a quarterback that didn't get many reps or a young quarterback or a quarterback that's been through learning several different systems, trying to learn several different systems, it makes it
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable 6-blade shaves, swift rinse and 4 blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Why are more women than ever choosing Natural Cycles? The hormone-free, side-effect-free way to take control of your fertility. Natural Cycles is a birth control app that uses your temperature to find your fertile window. It is more than a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
Your life isn't one size fits all. Every day brings something different. Your style should too. At Maurices, we make it easy to show up feeling comfortable, confident, and completely you. Our over 800 stylists are here to help you look your best. From tried-and-true denim to head-turning looks, we've got styles that fit your life and your budget. Fashion made for real-life moments. Maurice's.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 45% off site-wide, plus a professional measure at no cost. Rules and restrictions apply.
10 times more difficult. If you're listening to Nick Caley, maybe CJ tells you this, maybe he doesn't. The cut splits in 90% of what you're doing offensively is a problem. It muddies up the water for your quarterback. It allows the defensive coordinator to bring pressure with safeties and corners and show no signs before it happens. The cut splits, one, there's no rhyme or reason why you're doing it. You're not doing it to your advantage. That's got to be 50% max. You got to cut out the cut splits, right? 50% of the pressures, and I'm just throwing this number out there because I feel this strongly, by the way. 50% of the pressures, however you want to couch it, whether you want to use one of these advanced stats or you just want to look at true pressures, 50%+ of those pressures can be avoided with play calling. 50% of them. You look at what Tampa just did. Coming into this game, the one thing you know about D'Amico Ryans is he's going to bring pressure. And even when he doesn't bring pressure, he's got two defensive ends that are as good as any combo in the league. They're going to hit your ass. So what are we going to do? We're going to get the ball out of the quarterback's hands. What did he do? He threw 11 balls behind the line of scrimmage. Right? That's planning for pressure. Or, in the Texans' sake, that's planning because you don't know, you have no idea how to protect pressure or to overcome pressure. So you got to do it with play calling.
So you don't have routes that are just 20 yards down the field.
Ron, you've got to, right, this point in time for the Texans, they have, the focus has to be on how can we minimize the percentage of snaps that we're taking offensively that require C.J. Stroud standing at the line of scrimmage trying to figure out where defenders are pressuring from. Take it completely off the table. If I'm throwing a jet screen or a now screen or whatever screen you want to call it, a quick screen to Nico Collins, I don't give a damn who's in the A-gap. There ought to be, right now, Nick Caley should have an audible. When C.J. Stroud comes to the line of scrimmage, and the first time that them backers walk up in that A-gap, because he's going to see it. Jacksonville's going to do it. They're going to do it. They're not going to wait till the second quarter like Tampa Bay did. They're going to do it in the first quarter. When they walk up there, there ought to be an immediate audible to a quick screen to either Christian Kirk if he's out wide or if he's in the stack, or Nico Collins. I'd go Nico Collins if he's out wide. It should be an automatic one word, one tag, one call, get the ball out there and don't make your quarterback and your offensive line sit there and fight this pressure situation the way you have, right? Having quick answers on every single offensive play that you call, every pass play you call, even second and 15, if you get stuck in it, you got to have quick answers, right? I mean, period, point blank. And by the way, play to your strengths in short yardage. Put Nick Chubb on the field and run the ball downhill. I'm out.
Ooh, yeah, tape drop, huh?
All of that out of one tape, man.
You didn't get to the defense yet.
Maybe later.
You didn't get to the run game. I know you had to watch that. All right, coming up, Astros, they got a big win last night as they are now still yet a half game behind the Mariners because they kicked the Royals' ass last night. We'll see what they do tonight. We'll give you the lineups and some good news, some good injury news for the Astros. We'll let you know what that is coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Cubley.
Oh, I cannot wait to hear from Brandon Scott coming up here in a bit. B. Scott, Texans, our Texans report coming up here at 4:40. We'll hear from him. I've been talking to him this week, and I can't wait to hear from him after these press conferences. And we just heard from C.J. Stroud. If you missed that, you can go back, check it out. We did that at 3:40 as he spoke to the media ahead of the game coming up on Sunday. Okay, well, I almost can't wait to hear from Nick Caley tomorrow, as Nick Caley will speak. Oh, and Matt Burke. Feel bad, man. I just
Caley on the mic, man. Caley on the mic. I can't wait, baby.
And Matt Burke. So he'll speak to. Hell, Frank Ross. Frank Ross gets to speak. He ought to be able to take up all their time. Job he did. As Cecil said earlier, it kept their asses in the game. He sure did. All right, I'll get you ready for tonight. They need a big room from Christian Javier tonight. The Astros, they win last night. They're going for the sweep over the Rangers before they play an enormous series with the Rangers. With the Mariners coming up after this series ends. Christian Javier gets the ball tonight. Some news here. Isak Paredes, according to Chandler Rome, has continued to progress well, and the next day or two will determine whether he is activated this weekend against the Mariners, Joe Espada said. Espada also said he will ask Paredes not to run 100% on bases given the nature of his injury. Fine with that. When you look at now, we were trying to figure out, okay, chill out, man. First off, I thought it was a long shot that he would make it back. And obviously we'll see the next 2 days. Judging by Joe's comments, I think they feel good that they're at least going to give this a shot. Everybody talking about the full speed running and stuff. But Clint, there was a thought of like, well, where the hell is he going to go? You brought in Correa to play third where he was playing. Altuve, again, I don't hate to say this, but this is why we're a top 20 show in the country. This is why we are part of a reason why we are up for a Marconi. And Clint said it. Clint said there is no chance in hell when these games start mattering in September and October that Jose Altuve is going to be playing in left field. And Jose Altuve has been playing second base and DHing, it feels like, every day of the second half.
Is the experiment over?
Boys can't help themselves, man.
I know they made some moves, but he has been sitting at that second base spot or DH. But we're trying to figure out where is he going to go. Now that Altuve at second base every day, it seems like, well, now Yordan Alvarez has the slipping on the plate situation that he had and a significant ankle sprain, and he could be out for some time. Now it looks like there's a perfect spot that he doesn't have to be in the field, that they can control the running as best they can, and he can be a DH with Yordan out. So there is a perfect spot for Isak Paredes, who he's got to still be like top three or four on the team in home runs on his team with his 19. I don't think he got to 20 yet. His 19 home runs. I mean, it is... This is a big development right now, especially coming off the Yordan injury.
Well, if you just have that bat available, whether he can hit in the lineup truly and run at 70% and get something done, or if you just have him available with the ability to pinch hit in clutch situations, either way it goes, I mean, you've got that bat is going to be very, very valuable if indeed he can hold it together well enough to swing full speed. And look, I mean, hell, as a month ago, I saw him taking balls at third base. I can't remember. I think it was a homestand. Obviously, he was getting some work before a game, and the video surfaced. I mean, he doesn't appear to be tender at all. I mean, he doesn't appear to be babying that. I mean, if you didn't know, if you didn't follow, if you just showed up and there's a guy out there at third base, I mean, bending, stepping, bouncing. He was on his toes with some bounce, some pep in his step. I mean, it's not crazy to believe right now that they're legitimately thinking about, you know, getting him some run.
I think it's going to happen series. The way they're talking.
Yeah. But you think about it, Joe Espada talking about, oh, we're going to ask him not to run 100%. Okay, what are we doing here? But if you really watch him work, I don't think there's any doubt that he can go to the plate and swing the bat full go and give you a better chance, at least a better chance than any other pinch hitter you're going to have given your current circumstances.
I think what they're saying is, hey, man, you ground the ball off the third. Hey, let's.
Yeah.
Let's let it, we ain't got to bust it. You hit a ball that it maybe could be a double. Like, let's not try to stretch. Let's not try to go crazy.
I worry more about the getting to second base and costing us a run because he can't run. On a base hit or something, you know, that's the one thing that you
worry some of that
about,
you're going to have to take with his bat.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. You got to. I mean, that's the risk you take, I guess, to get that bat in the lineup. But it's the bat, the Isak Paredes bat being available in any capacity is a win Astros. So especially given the fact that, like I said, a month ago he was getting working. It's not like he hasn't seen pitching. It's not like he hadn't been swinging or. He's been working, so that it should not be terribly difficult for him to get back up to speed versus MLB pitching.
Yeah, so that is big news to watch there. Tonight is a big one. Tyler said he's going to be out there. We'll see what happens. They need they need length from Christian Javier as much as they can. Yesterday had to be a bullpen game. With Blue Bob pitching really, really well, 7 strikeouts, one walk, no runs there, but they didn't want to stretch him out. He only could go 3 innings, and the big thing is they had to use Brian Abreu because old buddy lost it in the 8th there, and he had to come in. He threw 32 pitches, and I would imagine you would think, especially with the Mariners series coming up, that he may not be available tonight. Now you got to win these puppies, so we'll see what happens. But
Abreu gave up 3 hits through 30 something pitches and didn't give up a run. I didn't see it. I'm assuming there was a double play in there somewhere.
You open the fridge, there's nothing there. So what's it gonna be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-through burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein, no artificial flavors or colors, no chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor, ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first 2 orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House with a home theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Looking for jewelry that feels as good as it looks? Jenny Bird delivers modern designs that are comfortable, easy to wear, and effortlessly versatile. Every piece makes you feel instantly on trend without trying too hard. Need to send a gift they'll be sure to love? Jenny Bird ships fast, and the packaging is thoughtful too. Jenny Bird isn't just jewelry. It's your new favorite style essential. Explore more at jenny-bird.com and get 20% off your first purchase using code ONTREND20.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team. Rep your city. Rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Yeah, he did his thing. He got in there. Got out.
Oh man,
got a big strikeout to end that puppy. Yeah, got out of it. He threw a lot of pitches though. The lineup tonight for Javier, who they need to at least, like, man, you know, 6 innings. I think they need Pena leading off, Correa behind him, Altuve at second base again, Christian Walker in cleanup, Caratini, who has really good numbers against Jacob DeGrom. Shout out to Tyler Milner getting that. He is in the lineup as the DH. Yiner Diaz is catching tonight. Sanchez, Jake Myers in the 8 hole. with Cole batting ninth in right field. So that is the lineup tonight for another really, really big game. They're all important right now, especially these games with the Rangers and Mariners. So big one tonight for the Astros. We'll see if they can they can pull this thing off. Coming up, our guy Brandon Scott. Every single Wednesday, a little Texans report, and we'll get his thoughts on everything that's happening with CJ D'Amico, the team, as they head into this game against the Jags. That's next.
Football in H-Town is on the rise.
I love D'Amico Ryans, man. I tell you what.
H-Town, I'm back.
Our guy B. Scott has all the latest from the gridiron.
I don't see no bitches nowhere around here.
It's time for your weekly Texans report.
You ain't laying down for nobody.
On The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, it is Wednesday. That means our guy Brandon Scott is in the building with us for his Texans report. And B. Scott, I kind of want to get with it with you and start off with this. We've heard, I think, for the last couple of days, I would even push this out to even the past maybe week and a half. We've kind of heard from different members of the Texans, from the head coach to the quarterback, coordinators, everybody. Heard from D'Amico and CJ today. They are 0-2 right now, and they need a W. They need a win big time, you know, for a lot of different reasons. What's the feel? And you've covered these guys since they've been here. What's the feel of the energy you're getting from the Texans that we're hearing from as they are trying to dig out of this? Oh, I'm sorry. It's not a hole. That's not what D'Amico said. They're trying to get out of this 0-2 start.
They sound pressed to me.
Yeah.
Like they sound.
This sounds different than what you've.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think it's been this bad because if we're being honest about it, there is a carryover from last year. We always talk about, hey, new year, new season. We're not going to think about last year, whether it's good or bad. We're going to put it behind us. But when the previous season ends poorly, specifically on the offensive side of the ball, when the previous season ends poorly, you make such drastic changes that the Texans did make in the offseason, and then the next season starts, let's just be honest, not hot, not great. You know, whether you want to call it poorly or whole, however you want to characterize it, ain't good, whatever it is. I feel like all of that is compounding, okay? And now the decision makers, both from in terms of personnel and the decision makers on the field. Okay, so now I'm talking about C.J. Stroud. From D'Amico Ryans to C.J. Stroud, everybody, I think, feels pressed to sort of get this thing right. Not just, I think, for the public perception, but for themselves as well. Kind of prove it to themselves as well. I think C.J. Stroud now has gone a stretch here where he has not played his best ball, and it ain't just two games. It ain't just the two games that we're watching here so far this regular season. It dates back to the end of last season since he's actually looked like himself, or the himself that we thought he was becoming when he was a rookie.
Do you think that the dynamic between the two you know, faces, D'Amico and CJ, do you think that dynamic between coach and quarterback has shifted?
I don't see how it hasn't, or how it couldn't. If shifted is not the right word, I definitely think that it has evolved, right? I think that from, you know, when you're a rookie, you come in green and you're just kind of, you don't know what you don't know, you're just glad to be here. I think the difference now is that, you know, D'Amico always felt ownership of this thing because he's the head coach.
Yeah.
But C.J. Stroud, I think, has now adopted the same sort of level of leadership and ownership of what's going on. I don't know how much is colliding necessarily, but it's definitely different. It definitely feels different. There definitely is some difference in how they present. You know, D'Amico, not an emotions on the sleeve type of guy, going to try to give you the most even-keeled response and demeanor as he possibly can. And CJ Stroud, for better or worse, if he's in a good mood, you're going to know it. And if you're not, you're going to know it. And that's the difference between the two guys.
He even tried today not to give you nothing, but you can see it was written.
Oh, I mean.
He is hot over there. Speaking of CJ, Brandon Scott with us, Texans report. I know for you, like most everyone, was really, really high on CJ, especially coming out of that rookie season. Are you at any level concerned by what you're seeing from him in particular? Not all the other stuff. From him in particular, have you reached a place where you're starting to get concerned at all about his play?
Yeah, I mean, the offense don't score touchdowns. Sometimes they don't score at all in a whole half. You know, so like it's hard not to be as concerned as we, I think, all are about the offense and not be concerned about the quarterback, especially when you have this much of a pattern of it, right? It's not just some one-off. I can remember doing shows with you, Clint, early on last year when you said something. I barked at you at the time, but it ended up revealing itself to be true, go figure. But at the time, you were like, I need C.J. Stroud to play more like C.J. Stroud of his rookie year. And up until that point, I think we were like four games in. I was like, well, Clint, I think he mostly is. I mean, it's not all looking great, but I think he mostly is. And then sure enough, as the season went on, that my side of the argument got harder and harder and harder to make. And I think it's way harder now. That's been a year ago. So, yeah, no, I felt great about him. Still feel pretty good about him because of the rookie year that we saw. Like, we don't get to erase that. But, no, this is concerning. This is, there is a trend. There is a pattern here that is that does not make you feel good.
You know, I'm, since you brought that up, it is interesting. I'm just now thinking about this, kind of thinking out loud. It is, you know, then when you and I were having that conversation, I was responding to the five-headed monster, and we're going to be more aggressive, and we're going to stretch the field. In my mind, I'm going, okay, let's see how this is this going to be better approach than the other one? Let's see, kind of deal. The difference between then and now is I expected it then. This year, all signs pointed towards being more like year one, being more like Tom Brady, being more like take what they give you. We even heard them saying those things. And so I'm not surprised back then last year that it wasn't coming to fruition right in front of our face. Like, I wasn't seeing more of what I wanted to see. I'm shocked that I'm not seeing more of what. I'm surprised. Second and seven, B. Scott, we max protect and run two guys 20-plus yards deep, never look at the quarterback.
Yeah.
Like, I'm shocked that we're seeing those things and not like a constant effort, almost overdoing it, point of, man, we're going to throw too many screens. Hey, man, we're going to run it too much. Hey, man, we're going to have five receivers on the field, and they're all going to be five-yard routes. You know what I mean? Like, it's – I'm surprised that we're not seeing an overreaction to correcting last year's problems, and it's really more of what we saw last year.
Yeah, so I got at least two, maybe three concerns about C.J. Stroud, just to be specific about it. Number one, the whole ball placement specialist thing and the accuracy. Like, and there's a lot of things we might be able to attribute that to. Maybe it's a – not feeling comfortable with what's around you, maybe not feeling as comfortable with the play call, with the actual throwing decision that you're making. But whatever it is, just on the outside looking at it, he doesn't look as accurate as he did as a, you know, his scouting report and as he did as a rookie.
Yeah.
Also, the like, I feel like he's locking in on a read a little bit more so, and that's not the CJ that I thought I was coming to know or thought that was developing. You know, matter of fact, as a rookie, he seemed like he was maybe overly developed in that way, or definitely more so developed than we were giving him credit for going in. Oh my God. Yeah, that was Jordan's ankle. Every time I see Jordan's ankle on a replay, it jars me. Like, it's even worse. It's even worse than but then the third thing on CJ would be his pocket presence. And you could tell me better on this, Clint, than I would. I'm just kind of a layman watching. He doesn't look comfortable back there. Like, he's either making poor decisions, inaccurate, the feet are jumpy. The feet were choppy last year. So all of those things, the accuracy, the decision-making, the locking in on the receiver, and then his feet, you know, and I'm not trying to be like super mechanical guru here, but it just does not look the way it did as a rookie. It seems like those are not areas I would expect a guy to regress the further he gets along in his career.
Well, to me, I mean, the obvious answer for me is you're seeing a guy that's having to actually be responsible for protections and communications and stuff. Now, where before it was just like, hey, my center got that, let me check out the coverage. We seeing some safety rotation. Is the corner shaded inside or outside? Hey, man, where am I going to go with this ball? Where now he's spending a lot of his time figuring out what the hell's going on right there in the box. And then all of a sudden, when it comes time, you look up and there's 5 seconds on the play clock and you got to snap that thing. Oh, hell, like, what coverage are they in? And, you know, where's Nico? And what, you know, what are we doing? So it's a lot when you start doing, when you ask a quarterback to do everything that he's being asked to do. So it's a tough watch right now, man. And you know, hopefully this is one of those situations where it can get better quick and in a hurry as it needs to.
The one optimistic part about it for me is that I still see glimpses. Like, he, with all of this that we're talking about, he still has these moments where he'll zip a throw in there, he'll fit one into a tight window, and you're like, oh yeah, that's right. That's who the guy is.
Yeah.
But I was talking to you about this run the other day. Like, it's a repeatability thing. It's like the rookie year, it felt like, oh, this is consistent.
Mm-hmm.
This is repeatable from week to week, from game to game, play to play, week to week. Right now, it's just like spotty.
Yeah.
You see glimpses of it, but it's nowhere near as consistent as they need to be just to, damn, score the ball, much yeah. less win some games, like score some points.
Well, there's got to be – you just got to get bored with it, right? I mean, I thought one of the catchiest phrases that we heard them play was or say, I think it was his rookie year, was, you know, get comfortable with the board stuff, right? Yeah. Just stay right there. That means you are playing winning football. And that means, hey, man, if you can fit it in to Dalton Schultz on that flat route right now for a 3 or 4 yard game, fit it in there. Don't wait to throw it over the middle and hold the football and potentially take a sack. You know, that kind of stuff has to they got to get back to that.
B. Scott, they've said this, and it is factually correct. They've talked about, man, we're close. We're right there, a couple of plays here. And yes, they lost 14-9 to the Rams. They lost by a point on Monday to the Bucks. When you watch the games, when you're watching the games, do you feel like they're close? Do you feel like, all right, man, damn it, they played two really good playoff teams from last year and just a couple of plays here or there. Do you feel like they're close?
No. I mean, it doesn't. Look, maybe it's a credit to them to make the score look close and to make it look closer than it actually was. But just from watching the both games, okay, the Rams game, felt like the first half was close. And they even won the first half, if I'm remembering correctly. But the first half looked close. The second half, the Rams just like a flat-out better team, like a better football team from the second half. So there's half of it looked close, half of it did not. This game, I know they lost by 1 point, but – I'm watching these defensive tackles getting pushed into the linebacker's lap.
They had a lead with
9 seconds
left.
Yeah, the special teams flipped it on its head. I mean,
yeah.
Really, to be honest with you.
Special teams. And there was a series of special teams plays that were both made by you and not made by them. Like, special teams in general, good for you, bad for them, flipped the game in terms of the score and the actual result. But, like, when they had the ball, this guy that was sitting behind me in the Odyssey suite, every time I'd say, man, I'm nervous every time they had the ball. Do you think the Bucs fans were nervous when the Texans had the ball?
Mm-hmm.
At what point were they nervous? Maybe in that first drive, and after that, looks like it's going to be a shootout.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, here we go again, just like 2 years ago.
Yeah.
But after that, there was no reason to be nervous if you were a Bucs fan.
Let me respond to one thing you said, because I think it's really good, B. Scott. Is you know you talk about the one score games, the close games, right? And What I personally believe, I mean, however anybody else wants to, like, I believe D'Amico Ryans and Nick Caserio put this team in a position where they're going to play in place close games. They're a good enough roster, top to bottom. I mean, you got your starting safeties playing special teams. You got some dudes on special. Like, your depth is next level. Your roster is really, really, really good, right? I think those two guys put this organization in a spot where close games are going to happen. They're not going to get blown out. The close games are going to happen. The stuff that we keep harping on, and people are saying, oh, don't panic. No, this is what's going to win and lose games for the Texans. This is how it's going
to
be.
Well, along that logic, if you're built to play in close games, then you also need to be built to do what you like to call the simple things, savage. Like,
yes.
It's going to be the simple things that's going to be the difference.
Yes.
Then, having a red zone offense, being able to convert once you're not just to say, hey, we're moving the ball. Well, they don't give you points for moving the ball. They give you points for getting in the end zone or kicking it up the uprights. That's how you get points, not for just moving the ball. So they got to do some of the more simple things a lot better if they're going to be built this way.
All right, B. Scott, man, we appreciate you. We'll see what they do. Make sure you take a listen to him tomorrow, Friday, as he is on In the Loop. 11 o'clock.
I'm on it. Payne and Pendergast in the morning.
Payne and Pendergast in the morning.
Yeah,
there you go.
Payne and Pendergast. Yeah, man.
And then
the big boy chair.
So catch him tomorrow, and then 11 o'clock on Friday, as he's there each and every Friday on In the Loop, as I'm sure you'll hear more of his thoughts on the Texans. All right, coming up a little 5 o'clock fire. We'll get you ready for this one tonight. Some injury updates as well with the Astros, and injury updates with the Texans as well. That's coming up as we continue. Little 5 o'clock fire coming up next.
Quality sleep isn't just about how long, but how well you sleep. And science proves temperature plays a massive role. ChiliPad by SleepMe is a precision temperature-controlled sleep system that cools or warms your bed so you can sleep hard and recover harder. And it's not just for pro athletes. Just set your temp from 55 to 115 degrees, and ChiliPad does the rest. Visit sleep.me and use code SLEEPCOOL20 for 20% off your first ChiliPad. That's SLEEP.ME for 20% off your ChiliPad. This special offer expires September 30th and cannot be combined with other offers.
Make every day a Disney Plus and Hulu day, and get everything you love in one plan. Start your day with Monday Mayhem and watch episodes of Bob's Burgers. How about a Touchdown Tuesday with the hilarious new comedy Chad Powers? Or a Whodunit Wednesday with high potential and everyone's favorite amateur sleuths in the hit series Only Murders in the Building? Maybe you're in the mood for a thrilling Thursday. Grab some popcorn and stream huge blockbusters like Marvel Studios' Thunderbolts on Disney Plus, or get caught up with the most enthralling news on what you need to know. Gather the fam for a Flashback Friday and binge all episodes of Modern Family or Grey's Anatomy. So, discover something every day on Disney Plus and Hulu. It's the movies and shows you love, every day. 18 and up only, offer valid for eligible subscribers only, terms apply.